Christopher Adam is the man making the metal of Refiner. It's great to have you here on The Antidote.
Thank you, Dave, for having me. This is really awesome to be here.
Now, I spoke about you making metal music. Has metal always been your thing?
No. So early on, back when I was a teenager in the mid-2000s, I actually started out with rock after I discovered that there was Christian rock. My very first band that I discovered that really kicked it off and got me into music was Reliant K.
Oh, right.
Shortly after that, I was introduced to the Thousand Foot Crutch, Cutlass, Skillet, Red, all those bands.
All my favorites, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much good history there, like the discography of all those bands. I still listen to all of them regularly, but moving a few years later, closer to 2010, I had a friend in youth group. He was trying to get me into Haste the Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the one day youth group, he showed me Blue 42, one of the more iconic Haste the Day tracks. And I absolutely hated it. I couldn't stand the screaming. I wouldn't say it sounded evil, but it was just so jarring, and I couldn't understand it. But week after week, he persisted, and he showed me another song here, another song there. And literally a matter of weeks, I was exploring a game, basically the classic game Guitar Hero and Rock Band, the video games. Mm-hmm. My brother had a free kind of bootleg version on the PC called Frets on Fire, where people would basically make custom tracks to real songs. They would play the song and then they would create where the buttons are supposed to go and when you're supposed to press them.
Oh, cool.
And my brother found a Christian metal band at the time called August Burns Red. It was Truth of a Liar from their Messengers album. And I played it. And again, the screaming was kind of hard to take in, but there was something about the guitar, like playing along with the guitar,
mm-hmm.
that really clicked with me. I was like, that was really fun to play that in a video game. And so I started playing that song like over and over again. And I'm like, I grew into it, and it just snowballed so fast. I basically left rock behind and became a full on metalhead overnight. And now the older I've gotten, I went back to rock. I now listen to more extreme metal, like a little bit of black metal, death metal, and just all the more extreme genres. But I'm still a metalcore kid at heart. I think metalcore is the easiest thing that you can describe my music taste.
Well, now with the music of Refiner, you cover a number of metal subgenres. You're not solely metalcore.
Yes. It was one of those things by talking with the label and how do we market this band? Because I think metalcore is probably the easiest thing to describe it to most people, but I definitely do try to take some influence from a lot of different genres. I'm not trying to stick to metalcore, mm-hmm. but yeah, I guess you got a lot of the industrial stuff in there with like the electronics, the synths.
Oh,
and
sure.
I'm not even particularly like an industrial fan. When I first started making music, I dabbled in EDM, like electronic dance music,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Christian Roach from Diamonds to Dust and Keebler from Collapse Revive. Like these guys have absolutely insane, amazing vocals. And I don't do what they do by any means as far as the full-on deathcore influence, but just bringing in those kind of more like heavy, crazy growls. there's a few moments where I really try to take that and almost try to sound like them and completely fail at it. But it works. I enjoy kind of the middle ground that I found.
Something that surprised me about Refiner, Chris, is that you decided to make this a solo project. Why didn't you go the full band route?
That mainly stems from where I'm located. Being from Nanaimo and Vancouver Island, it's very...
Yeah, the most pretty city on earth.
It is quite pretty, yes. Being out here on the West Coast, I think it would be different if I lived somewhere interior, a little bit more like Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more people. I mean, most of our signs say 100,000 population, but I'm pretty sure it's gone up to at least 120,000. Like, but there's not a whole lot of market and people that are super interested in Christian metal in particular that I could really gravitate to and, you know, happen to be in the same interest in doing this, making biblical based music or like with Christian themes, to actually play the stuff live and do all that kind of stuff. It's impossible to find people here, mainly with the type of music that I wanted to make. I just had to try and go ahead and do it as best as I could with the resources that I had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2022, you delivered Firewalker as the band's debut release. What kind of a statement were you wanting to make with that album?
It was like a mission for myself that was very personal. I wanted to prove to myself that I could create something that sounded semi-professional, that was like a full-on legit metalcore.
Yeah.
Because everything I had done prior to that with my old project that I had called Beyond Vision, it was an absolute mess of a project where you literally had tracks that were full-on electronic dance music, and then you had other songs that were metalcore, and then you had other stuff that was like hard rock, or there was one song that was punk. Like, it was such a weird blend. But yeah, so going into Refiner with Firewalker, it was basically one track at a time. I would spend a couple months kind of creating each song, and I slowly released the first three songs. And then finally, I was like, okay, I need to culminate this, make it an EP. I tweaked some of the mixes on the first few tracks that I put out. And I'm one of those guys that definitely need an album or an EP. I don't like to listen to singles. Mm-hmm. I need the actual release of this music.
That's the metal way of doing things.
Yeah. It's hard with this streaming world that we're in, where everything is driven off of playlists, and it's a great way to discover new bands. But as far as me actually actively consuming music, I have a massive CD collection. I still bring a CD with me every day in the car when I go to work. I have an active Spotify subscription, and I use that to keep up with all the new releases, and I get to listen to the new music that way. But whenever I can, you know, I'll either buy a CD or even just buy music off of Bandcamp to actually own the music, sit down and listen to it, rather than just have an endless playlist kind of in the background.
Right. Well, I'm with you. I'm more of a Bandcamp type of guy. But we got to talk about the music and bring in one of the songs. Because on Firewalker, the song Crimson Rain lays out the faith aspect of Refiner's music when it said, "You will never be whole on your own strength. Come as you are. A path has been laid. A torch lights the way, brighter than the light of day." Is it best to be obvious with song lyrics?
Sometimes. I think this song was definitely the most faith-forward song of that first set.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most obvious when you look at it like that. But I think my first song that I released was The Clock and Veil, which is track number 2 on that EP. And that song lyrically was much more vague.
And that was going to be my next question, was exactly about that.
Yeah, I intentionally made it. I was trying to toe that line between being obvious and also being vague and allowing listeners to interpret how they will. With my background of how I got into music and listening to Christian rock and metal, I was always the advocate for, I'm like, I'm listening to Christian music. It's got to be Christian. It's got to, you know, I was kind of growing up with that mentality. Everything was very obvious, or I liked it to be very obvious. I liked all my music to be, you know, strictly about Jesus. When I started this project, I wanted to do my best to honor the Lord with my abilities that he's given me, like, and be creative, and not stick to just being super blatantly obvious, though I feel like with my projects, I need to have that that message be there and be clear at some point. So I'm definitely a believer in, like, not every single song has to be blatantly obvious,
mm-hmm.
but in the context of an EP or an album, I want there to be that message of hope in Christ, mm-hmm. and, like, be pretty clear about it. So that song, the imagery I really wanted to convey, Crimson Rain being the blood of Christ.
Well, compared to the clock and veil, which says, convinces of indoctrination, death is laid to waste, even lower than 6 feet under, it's impossible, they claim. And that is truly veiled. But it is okay to go both routes, isn't it?
I think so. I think a lot of bands, depending on their mentality, there's so many these days that try to distance themselves from their faith and putting their faith in their music. And so, like, as a Christian, you can see it in there, but they're intentionally hiding it in a way of, you know, they don't want people to feel uncomfortable listening to it, or they'll try and veil it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other bands that are just pure worship, or, you know, like the Crimson Rain, like, they'll make it very, very obvious. And I personally think the bands that do both, where they blend those two things together, from my personal music listening, are the ones that I gravitate towards the most, because the bands that hide it tend to have lyrics that are dark. They're a little bit more angsty, kind of got like almost like an angry tone in the background beyond mm-hmm. sounding metal. And then sometimes the bands that are so straightforward with that message, it's almost cheesy. If you blend the two, I don't know. I think both ways have their pros and cons.
A little bit earlier, you were talking about the bands that brought you into Christian music. What about current influences? Who are you listening to now?
I listen to basically everything that I can that's new. With my page of For the Rock, I try to keep up to date with everything that's coming out. But the stuff that's, like, on heavy rotation, I gotta say the new Deathique record and The Word Was God, potential album of the year. It's incredible.
It's really well done.
It's so good. So yeah, the new Deathique. I always love Convictions, Bloodlines. The new Plead the Widow's Cause record is great. And gearing up for the new Wolves at the Gate is awesome. I've actually gotten to hear that whole record, and it's incredible. So yeah, I think a lot of the bands that were kind of up and coming bands a few years ago, they now, I think a lot of them are like mainstays, like Convictions and Bloodlines.
Oh yeah.
Are kind of among like some of the best Christian metal bands in memory of like modern times. And Holy Name. I've listened to a lot of Holy Name, basically, if they release on Face Down Records, and if they're kind of a more classic solid state band, or like a mid 2000s mm-hmm. almost all three of those labels at the, like in that time period. I listened to all the time. Slowly trying to show the wife some kind of classic like emo Tooth and Nail stuff.
Has she gotten turned on to any of that?
Yeah, yeah. She didn't grow up Christian. She didn't become a Christian until she was 17, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she grew up listening to a lot of like pop punk and kind of emo stuff, but like all the mainstream bands, which I have no knowledge of. That's total opposite there.
Right.
But she really loves bands like Relient K. My favorite band of all time is Falling Up.
Oh, Falling Up is phenomenal.
Yeah, they're so underrated. And I'm not even just, oh, classic Falling Up or, oh, just the new stuff. The whole discography. It's so vast and different. But I love it all.
I get that because I was always shocked that they didn't become an enormous band.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had everything.
Yeah. Especially the first few records when they were more of the kind of like cliche youth group, like kind of rock stuff.
Yeah.
They had so many interesting melodies vocally and even just guitar parts. Like it was just so interesting. And like there's elements of those first couple of albums that sound a little dated today in a sense. Maybe it's more my nostalgia on those records. I still love them so much, but the just hearing the whole discography front to back, like over the course of like a week,
mm-hmm.
is always like a treat. I do it almost like once a year at least.
Well, you know what we got to do now? We got to reel this back in and talk about Refiner. Now, a little earlier, I spoke about Refiner being a solo thing, but you did bring in a guest on Undertow. I really got to know, how did you happen to connect with A Secret Ending? I mean, the artist is from Lithuania.
Yeah. So when I was doing reactions with For the Rock, kind of during that pandemic time, that was right around the beginning of A Secret Ending. And I was actually, just before I really kickstarted For the Rock back up, I was with Christian Metal Source. Peter, who was the man behind that channel, he would periodically just get these bands out of nowhere and upload their lyric videos for them or their music videos. And just out of nowhere, A Secret Ending comes out with his debut EP. And I was floored from the beginning. His lyric video style was incredible, detailed. Like it had this really cool animation that I didn't see anybody else doing. So that really clicked with me. I liked that he had the really well-written metal music, mm-hmm. but then also provided the visual, because I really love cover art and making videos and stuff. So all of that really clicked with The Secret Ending. I'm like, this is the kind of stuff that I want to do. It was actually right around the time I was starting to do Refiner. Just everything clicked with A Secret Ending. So I started to promote him a lot. I was doing reaction videos to all his new releases. And then we started talking online. Basically, it started out as a little bit of a deal. He started doing my lyric videos for me as a thank you for promoting him and watching his videos.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started doing Refiner, he started doing my lyric videos for me. To me, it was like a dream come true to have a video of that caliber to my own music. I think all of this really culminated into like having a really strong start for Refiner. And A Secret Ending was a huge part of that. And so once I got to Undertow, that was the fourth of the main songs on that EP that I had to record. And I really wanted to get him in it somehow. I wanted a feature, but I really wanted to have A Secret Ending in it. And he responded right away. He was super enthusiastic. I'm not used to collaborating with people a lot in that way. It sounds like a lot of the time when bands have features, the band that makes the song, a lot of the time it sounds like they give the featured artist free rein over what the lyrics are. A lot of the time I hear that. And I had actually written all the lyrics and I just asked him what he thought about it. And he kind of asked me for like a scratch vocal demo of kind of what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to kind of replicate it, but in his own style. And he sent me the parts and then I mixed it in, and it just, I think it came out great.
It turned out perfect.
Yeah. I want to have him back again in the future, but I also want to explore doing more collaborations with other artists as well, because I think that's really become a creative thing, but also community building. And then also collaborations really help with the streaming and releasing process, like fan bases kind of discovering each other.
And you also do it because you can just be lazy then.
Yeah, less work for me to do.
Exactly.
I'll just become one of those bands that just do the music and then get like a different vocalist for each song and they can do the whole song.
But seriously, that song really did turn out well.
Thank you.
Well, you and I have now covered off the deep, dark past of 2022 for Refiner. Earlier this year, Refiner released the first EP, Return to Dust. So how about we get into the title track? I did read that Luke 15:20-21 was the inspiration for the song. Mm-hmm. But you got to tell me, on a personal level, can you relate to the prodigal son story?
Yes and no. It's kind of weird how that ties into the song. Personally, with my faith journey, I grew up in a Christian household and I went to a Christian school, and I was kind of known as the goody two shoes Christian kid that wouldn't ever break any rules and was like always nice and never did anything wrong, even though that was totally not true. Yeah, I think I've never really experienced a season of life of walking away from my faith or like walking away from Christ or like being a prodigal son in that way. But I definitely have had short seasons in my life where I get complacent in my walk, or I feel distant from God. I guess on some level, everybody can probably relate to the prodigal son story, at least anybody that's a believer. I think everybody experiences like those moments where maybe you feel a little lukewarm. But yeah, that song is really kind of a call to return to your first love, being Christ. Basically coming back to the beginning of our walk, where I find a lot of new Christians usually pretty on fire for Christ. And like mm-hmm. they're just amped up and ready to go all the time. And then a lot of the times, you know, wait a couple years and usually that kind of excitement kind of fades away a little bit. And I think that's part of maturing in your walk and in your faith. But sometimes we go too far where like you really become complacent and you stop caring and you stop learning and you stop chasing that relationship with Christ. Part of the song was almost like a cry out, a return to Christ, but let's return to dust, return to the beginning where we started. Sometimes faith gets blown up and we complicate it too much, or there's hurt in the church because like there's a point where stuff gets too bloated, and you know, we let other people's opinions take too much hold. Yeah, I don't know. It was a song where I was kind of disheartened by all that was going on, but I also wanted it to be like a call to action, like the prodigal son did.
You've really been giving this some thought. Like you've really got a real heartfelt message you want to say. Is that how you deal with all of your lyrics?
Yeah, for the most part, I think there's a few songs that just kind of come and go pretty naturally. But to be totally honest, I did prep a little bit for this. I was just listening to them and be like, okay, this is what I was thinking when I wrote this song. But yeah, I think in some sense, the lyrics of like this song were a little more vague, and I was more conscious when I put it out. Like I can understand where somebody would maybe read it and be kind of confused about what it's saying. And so I did want to think about it quite a bit and be like, okay, like how would I explain this of what it meant to me?
Mm-hmm.
And not just be a complete jumbled mess of a message. But that was about where I got with it. I do try to intentionally think about my lyrics for the most part. Yeah.
The reason I brought that up too was because another of the songs found on the Return to Dust EP is Not the End. On that song, the lyrics say, "This is the end of life as you know it. Don't be consumed. There's hope yet for you." So it really does sound like you're preaching. Is that the purpose of Refiner?
Yeah, I think it's the way that I can try to encourage people. I'm not a preacher. I feel like I'm terrible with speaking sometimes and with words.
Oh, sure. And that's why you become in charge of a band, writing lyrics and singing them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that way I can scream them at people and then people don't understand what I'm saying because it's just loud. It's but no, I think words are important to me. As much as I feel like I stumble over my words a little bit. And yeah, trying to put that message in there and like, this is the way that I can share rather than preach on stage or share a message. I can hopefully portray what I believe is true to God's word and share those messages in a way that I connect with, which is heavy music.
So you've been mentioning about a couple of things you're involved with because you co-host the Kingdom Core podcast. You're also in charge at For the Rock. Likely you've got a full-time job and now you do the music of Refiner. How many hours a day are you working at all of those?
Right now, not as much, honestly. I've slowed down a little bit in the, I'm actually in a season of, kind of reflecting over the future of what I've been doing. I definitely want to keep making music. For the Rock takes up a lot of work, and we actually haven't even recorded a podcast episode for the Kingdom Core podcast in this whole year. Actually, our last episode was in December. And so Sean's been really busy. He has a newborn. I think that's been eating up a lot of his time. And then obviously combined with work, and we're both married, obviously, and trying to balance all of this stuff gets hard. And recently I've been slowing down in a lot of the stuff that I do with For the Rock and just kind of reevaluating how I can manage my time better doing that. But right now I feel like I've shifted my focus onto getting this record done for Refiner.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly there because we haven't done the full announcement of plans, but there's a couple songs and a couple surprises left to come until we actually release it all on a physical CD later this year. Then I will be taking a short break before I start doing anything else because so after this is all wrapped up for this record, my wife and I will be having our first child.
Ah, congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm anticipating that going into the fall, our lives will look very different and my time will look quite different for a while there. And so it's really going to be through the end of the summer, a big season of change and figuring out priorities and what stays and what goes and all that kind of stuff.
And you got to save up your energy because you're going to be up late every night with the baby.
Pretty much. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
So why don't we carry on to the latest from Refiner? And that's the just released EP Mistake. I'm kind of curious why you didn't combine the two EPs into one larger release.
So that is coming essentially, but part of the reason they're separated right now is just time-wise of getting something out. Because I actually got signed to Rottweiler Records back in the summer of 2022. It was shortly after I released Firewalker.
Right.
I penned a deal. And right after I signed that deal, all of a sudden, I had so much pressure on myself to create something worthy of being on a record label. like I wanted to step it up from Firewalker, and I put all this pressure on myself, and like they've been super gracious and patient, and like they literally have never asked for anything as far as like a timeline or anything really. They just be like, do your thing, we'll release it. Like, we trust you, do your thing. Weeks turned into months, turned into years. Like, shortly after Firewalker came out, I signed the deal. I had these two songs that we just released, Upside Down and Mistake. The instrumentals for these songs were done, aside from a few tweaks. And I basically just sat on them. I was hitting writer's block with the lyrics. With all this pressure, I kind of turned into procrastination. It just kept going away. And then as I did more and more with For the Rock and the Kingdom War podcast, a lot of that took precedence. And I really started to focus on that stuff more. And I just never felt like I had the time to work on music. I just didn't have the drive to work on music anymore. And it basically became a monkey on my back. I got to get these done. They're there. And I just literally months would go by and I didn't open up my files. I didn't touch them. And so finally, I had a couple conversations with the label and they were like, hey, man, like there's zero pressure on this. Like, stop putting so much pressure on yourself, A. But I opened up those files. I prayed and like, you know, these lyrics came pretty quickly over the coming weeks after that conversation. But I had the vocals done for Return to Dust and Not the End. Those songs were essentially done other than the final mix.
Wow.
And so literally after that conversation with the label, I was like, okay, you know what? That night I finished those two songs completely and turned them in. And I'm like, can we get these out like as soon as possible? Like, I feel like I just need to get the ball rolling.
Right.
And so the format that we've been releasing them in is partly due to me just getting out of that rut. I needed to get something out to have that momentum. And as soon as we handed in Return to Dust, I was able to shift my focus to these next two songs, Upside Down and Mistake, get them finished, do the vocals. And so these are finally out. I have a couple more in the works and some surprises that I can't quite announce just yet. But essentially, the plan is all of this will be culminated into a CD release and there'll be some extra stuff on there. But that should hopefully be out this fall. And I'm trying to have it ready and out before the baby comes, because then I just don't want to have to focus on this for a couple months. Right. At least.
So tell me about signing with Rottweiler. Was that something you were actively looking for?
Yes and no. I think a lot of musicians probably come up with like the dream of, you know, being on a record label. And Rottweiler has always been a bit more of like an indie label. Like they're a bit smaller, a bit more niche. And they had recently changed hands. I was actually talking with the old owner, Sean, and he had some interest in Refiner. This was right as I was releasing Firewalker. And he was actually thinking, oh, you know, like, this is really cool. He's like, this might fit. I didn't know how I felt about it at the time. I was like, okay, maybe I'll give it some thought. We'll see. And then a few more months goes by and he ends up selling the label. And so I ended up just talking to the new owners and they were like super on board. They're like, yeah, like, let's do this. Like, we love your music. So yeah, we just kind of penned that deal. And as we just went through my procrastination and stuff, I'm just like, I need to get this stuff out. And I think once we release the full thing, that'll essentially be my contract is fulfilled. It's complete. And then I'm free to do whatever I want. Like, I can either potentially do more with the label. I can do independent releases. Like, it'll open up and we'll see where that goes. I don't know just yet, but I think it's super cool to have had this experience of being on a label and having the support. They've done some really cool PR runs for these releases, getting on some websites I've never even heard of, but kind of opening it up to a wider audience than just the typical audience of For the Rock or Kingdom Core.
Now, have you ever considered putting out an emo punk album for your wife?
Yeah. Honestly, like, I think if I did find musicians in my town, which I do know a couple guys that are sort of into rock stuff.
Right.
That if I ever was in like an actual local band that made music, it would probably be that kind of more emo stuff, or maybe like, you know, typical indie rock, but that would be super cool.
Well, you did something cool and interesting with the song Upside Down from the Mistake EP. The down part of the title is literally printed upside down. You know, kind of reminds me of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, the upside down.
Anyway, the song says, I do the things I know I shouldn't, but I don't do the things that I ought. The song gives the answer, but maybe I should get you to explain that.
Yeah, so that's taken out of scripture, the Apostle Paul, basically acknowledging that like our fleshly desires go against what the Spirit is leading us to do. Some of the other lyrics in the song, it's talking about my priorities have started to rot, basically reflecting over your life in the mirror and seeing, oh, well, I have been lax in some areas. I've been falling into sin, and just realizing that we need Christ to change us. So another lyric is, I need something inside to change, someone to take the blame. Yeah, just realizing that we got to turn from what we're doing, and we have this fleshly pull that I'm doing these things that I know I shouldn't do, and then I don't do the things that I ought. Like, I'm not praying, I'm not spending that time with the Lord, I'm not reading the word and focusing on the things of God. And then there's the main question in it, in the lyrics, do I take the name in vain? Because we're commanded in scripture, like, don't take the Lord's name in vain. But then also, am I calling myself a Christian and taking that name in vain and living in a way that doesn't reflect Christ to others?
I'd say at one point or another, most Christians have gone through a time of doubting God, but you really take that a lot further on the song Mistake. And I like how the song shows the negative and then counters with the positive. You know, it's a dichotomy. But where did the song idea come from?
Yeah, so this one is a jumble of stuff. Like, it wasn't just one moment or one scenario, but again, I think a lot of the subtle theme of these four songs stems from seeing so many people walk away from the faith and giving into deconstruction. And there's a lot of those people that do that, the vocal minority of those people that will kind of come out against it, and they'll start kind of tearing into the body of Christ or just talking down upon their faith that they had. And so some of the lyrics in this song, it's talking to those people, but then it is also talking to people that just don't believe that they have purpose. They believe that we're here by random chance. Or there are those people too that maybe believe in a higher power, but they say, oh, God made a mistake with me, I shouldn't be here. So we have all these different people from these different walks of life. And I think this is a call to believe in something greater, believe in Christ. And then to the people who are struggling that are believers, I have a call in the song. It says, pick up your cross and put up a fight. And I think that's also to the people that are like questioning their faith, where they're ready to put it down. They've kind of given up and, you know, they feel distant from God. I think this all stems from, I've had these moments throughout my faith, but I also persevere. And it's just like, hey, like, God hasn't made a mistake with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He loves you. You have value. Like, you aren't here by random chance. And it's just, but it is supposed to like evoke some sort of emotion. Then it's that call to come back. And it kind of returns to Return to Dust. I think just in this last season of life, when I was writing these lyrics, that was kind of the overarching theme.
Well, what I do have to say is I really do hope you carry on with Refiner, because I've come to really like your music.
Oh, thank you.
I understand how life changes and sometimes you just can't carry on.
I do have hopes and plans for a little bit of the future of Refiner, but yeah, we'll see where it takes us. But one of my main goals, I want to tackle some worship covers in this style. That's one thing I've always wanted to try and do.
I'm ready for it. We do need more metal worship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris, I'm glad you're able to find some time to come here and speak with The Antidote.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. And thank you for all that you do, Dave.